Hello everyone and welcome to the Saturday episode of Vimo Live. My name is Vimo and this is all live. It's a live stream that happens on Wednesdays and Saturdays at 8 p.m. where we talk about contemporary Indian affairs and atheism, religion and other such adjacent issues. Thank you for joining me this Saturday. On Saturdays, I take callers. I will share I'll share a link in the chat momentarily. It will be pinned to the top. If you click on it, you'll be able to join me on screen. It's a difficult day because the topic has to do with child abuse, and that's always something that really gets me. There is this, a video started doing the rounds a couple of days ago, last night actually, late last night, that a teacher somewhere in Muzaffarnagar, had gotten her students to hit one particular student, and the student was a Muslim boy, and there were apparently also some anti-Muslim remarks being said there. I'm not going to show you the video. I'm pretty sure you must have run into it online somewhere, and if you have not, you will, and if you don't want to watch it, that's also understandable. But the dog whistling, the hatred that is spread everywhere, ye to aise hi hota, inke saath aise hi hona chahiye. Starting from Godi media anchors, who are primarily to blame for this, I feel. Because even the politicians and the government would not have so much power had it not been for these. I don't want to use swear words in the first 30 seconds of a YouTube video. But you get it. You get my point. And earlier today, I released a short video about a man called Fakir Mohan Senapati. He was one of the founding fathers of Odisha, as in the state of Odisha before it came into being. Whatever cultural solidity the idea of Odisha had was because of this man, along with some other people. When he was a young boy, he had lost his parents and he was educated by his uncle and his aunt. His uncle had hired a tutor to teach him. This tutor was quite happy with the boy because the boy was very smart. Young Fakir Mohan was very smart. So the teacher would go at the end of the month to the uncle to get his wages for having done his job, and the uncle would not pay him because he never saw any marks of violence on the boy's body. It was his understanding that education and child abuse go together. And therefore, the teacher, despite the fact that Fakir Mohan did not do anything wrong, started beating him just to get his wages. And this goes a long way in explaining to us, explaining why child abuse is such an integral part of our culture. We have YouTube reaction channels which do hilarious reaction videos about children getting beaten up by their parents or their teachers or something. I believe the technical term for it is pitai review. We have all normalized this idea that school mein to bachchon ko violence ka samna karna hi padega to such an extent that nobody even bats an eyelid at it. Now, this particular incident had an Islamophobic flavor to it, and obviously, that is bad. And as I said, it is the result of the intellectual climate of the country being what it is right now. But it is also a wider problem. Because think about all the children who were forced to beat their classmate despite perhaps not wanting to. What does it do to them? What message is sent to them? Because as I wrote in my post earlier today on Instagram, I call it riot school. We have talked about this before, right? We have talked about how hate speeches are given where Hindus are asked to pick up weapon against them. Ghar mein talwaare rakhna shuru karo, because apparently hum sabko aur koi kaam nahi hai ghar pe baithke inke unpaid sipahi banne ke alawa. So their children will get great educations at foreign institutions and all that. Our children will become murderers so that they may remain in power. And this thing that we saw in this school was basically ground level training for that. That's why I called it riot school in the thumbnail of the video. We will talk more about this, but at the moment, the latest news is that an FIR has been filed against that excuse of a teacher, that child abusing criminal who is pretending to be a teacher. And apparently some people have also gone and met the child. The child has given some interviews to the media. His identity rightly is being concealed. And I believe Naresh Tikait was also at the child's house. And there were some videos going around of the child hugging his classmates. Now, that is obviously the only way you heal from this. When someone is made to feel that they do not belong, the only way to heal from it is to create conditions where they feel like everyone loves them. And it's a child we're talking about, an 8-year-old child. Imagine the kind of trauma it causes to someone at that age. Imagine the kind of loneliness they feel. The child's father has gotten his name removed from the school. I feel the right course of action should be that this teacher, this sadistic fuck, should be put in jail. And this child should be reassured by everyone around him and hopefully brought back to the same school. And if not, given compensation for what he has gone through. But let me take a look at a few comments before I... Let me share the link first. I'll share a link in the chat. I'll pin it to the top so that you guys can click it and you can come and we can speak. And before that, until that happens, let me just take a look at some of the comments that have come in. Doctor says, recently a teacher of Physicswala Coaching Institute abused the scheduled caste. It is the perfect example of what is the reality of teaching profession in India. Yeah. We in thousands of schools across India, we have so-called teachers who are A, terrible at their job, and B, really just criminals. Because these people, had they not been teachers, would be exercising this violence elsewhere. These are people with criminal tendencies who should have received who should have received therapy at a young age, or you know, some kind of psychological help, but they didn't, and now we have, in our great wisdom, put them in the middle of our children. Rudra says, check Tattva India's latest post, which states a statement from ISRO that science originated from Vedas, repackaged as Western discoveries. So I made a short video about this on Instagram. Let me just try and show it to you. I wonder if the audio will play. Yeah, here it is. Let me just share this with you. Hello, can you see this? I hope you can see this. Let me just turn on the audio. Hope you can hear it.
We don't take that seriously because that was not... mathematician Ramanujan used to say that the solution to his mathematical equations were provided to him by a goddess who came to him in his dreams. We don't take that seriously because it's not verifiable or provable. Scientists are taken seriously when they say scientific things that are verifiable and provable. Scientists may have other opinions which we don't need to take seriously just because they're scientists. If a scientist came into a lab and said, take me seriously because I'm a scientist, people will laugh at him and ask him to get out and get his head checked. So, yeah, a scientist's opinion is only valid when it talks science. ISRO chief said science originated from Vedas and was repackaged as Western discoveries. Your thoughts on it? Isaac Newton used to think that Christ's second coming could be predicted using the Bible.
Yeah, you get the idea. That was my general answer to that. It was that if someone says that a scientist said that the Vedas are scientific and therefore we should think that the Vedas are scientific, then your argument essentially is that if a scientist says it, it must be true. But if that is your position, then you'll also have to take Isaac Newton seriously and come to the conclusion that Christ's second coming is going to happen, and that Ramanujan, in addition to being a mathematical genius, was also in touch with a goddess who used to come in his dreams and tell him the answers to his mathematical problems. And most people, I assume, are not going to be willing to do that. So the ISRO chief saying it and this Tattva India Instagram account saying it does not make it true. It is appeal to authority, a logical fallacy. Right. So a bunch of people have joined. Let me just take, hold on. Let me take a look at what they want to talk about. Arjun, your number is number 5. Sorry. Yash, your number is number 2. First is Sandarsh. Hi, Sandarsh. You can unmute yourself.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah. I was just typing down what I'm going to speak when you picked me up. I didn't know I would be the first one.
So what is the topic? Now you don't have to type. What is the topic?
Of course. Yeah. So I was just quite curious to understand the origin of the word, you could say, patriarchy and patriotism. origin seems similar, right? So when we
patriarchy
say
and
patriotism.
I had honestly never thought about this, but it does come from the word pater, which means father, right?
So,
Anglo-German, I think, could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Pater, patriotism. Mm-hmm. Let me just look it up now.
It is, Please look.
Etymology of patriot. Late 16th century from French patriote, from late Latin patriota, means fellow countryman, from Greek patriotes, from patrios, of one's father, for patris, fatherland. So the origin of the word patriot comes from fatherland, and patriarchy, I think, is more direct. Let me just look that also. Patriarchy would be, it comes from Greek, from the word patriarches and patriarchia, which is in medieval Latin, the English word patriarch, ruling father. So yeah, etymologically, both of them come from the same source.
Right. So when we say we have people, when we say I am a patriot, it is kind of, I mean, it is something that I have started thinking on very recently. Until then, though, I was quite fine. Now, we have this thing when we hear the term nationalists and hyper-nationalism, we tend to avoid that because it gives a whole different connotation. Nationalism has become hyper-nationalism. So I suppose I could say I'm a patriot, then just gave it a thought and I'm like, I just Googled, what is matriotism? Is there something like that?
Yeah.
It says, love and concern for the society. Matriotism is love and concern for the society. You can even look, Google it up.
Matriot. I was thinking, an IT solutions company. Matriarchy or matriot? What is the word you look for?
Matriotism. Matriotism. Just Google matriotism.
Matriotism. School, hometown, or parish pride, or loyalty, as opposed to nationalism or patriotism. Love or celebration of a woman's influence upon society, the female equivalent to male patriotism. Okay.
Society, right? So now I can't even call myself or even people I know as patriots because I know this because I Googled it. So what do you suggest I use the term to say a person who loves the country? Do I say a person who loves the country every time?
See, my in Hindi, the solution is very simple. The word people normally use is Desh Bhakti, which I don't like. I like Desh Prem, which means love for the country. Because when you're doing bhakti of someone, you cannot question them. But when you're when you love someone, then it's part of your duty to just point out what they're doing wrong also, right? So that problem is solved for me by Hindi, which, no language is perfect. But at least in this respect, Hindi seems to have a better solution than patriot.
Sounds right.
Desh Prem is not even a Hindi word exclusively. I'm sure there are other languages in India which can use Desh Prem.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. I just wanted to put out that thought in you as well, if you had not thought before.
Good thought.
Yeah, other than that, the child abuse or the concern that you raised, what are we teaching our future generations, right? So I currently am pursuing counseling psychology. So I do hear a lot of case studies in this regard. What could be potential flying and what could be the concerns. And also when perpetrators also seek counseling over a long run, because that could have happened 6-7 years ago. Now that they are aware that they were perpetrators back then, they also seek counseling. So these are all the cases that I come across and I just read through them. And the topic that until I thought of joining, I didn't know what the topic would be. I saw that. And yes, so with this, I'd also want to put one other thought. When pseudoscience is so prevalent, when superstitions are so prevalent, we don't see any effort from education system to not eradicate, at least even address that or acknowledge that. In fact, we see around schools with temples within their premises, right? So we see temples within their premises, or even the Montessoris, the church. The whole idea is church and school. It's not school, also church. It is church and school. So basically, this So exactly what we are teaching to the future generations is one thing. And we see AI also kind of saying, I can do astrology now. This is something that I spoke in the last week in this call. So AI suggesting I'll do astrology now. So with all this, even if school is not teaching kids of things that are not right, they themselves would be learning because they have access to internet and there is no filter or anything at all. So with all this, I mean, the question I think will be addressed in this live stream after this, I suppose. But yeah, so education system doesn't have, has not at least until now addressed any such concerns. Has this been addressed or at least spoken about in education systems elsewhere, if not in India? Because I'm so very, my exposure is very primitive and only to India and also very few places of India. I can't extrapolate it and say the whole India is this way. Although I can, I don't want to. And I can certainly can't, I certainly can't extrapolate it to the entire world. Are there any such societies which has built in such thoughts into their education system? Yes, I think.
I wouldn't know either. Like, I'm sure there must be a more enlightened education system somewhere. We keep hearing about small countries in Europe which have these ideas. But I don't know exactly for sure. But yeah, it would be a great thing if we could do these. Like, I keep harping on about the importance of teaching people humanities. I think, you know, we have these subjects in school like civics, political science, etc., which tend to be just things that, you know, here's a book, memorize it and write down whatever our constitution says in an exam and you'll get marks. We don't turn it into lived experience the way we have practical examinations in physics and chemistry. So I think some humanities subject at school level can have a practical aspect, I think. But I don't know to what extent that is being done these days.
So will be too long of a run for India, I suppose.
Too long for us?
It must be a tool, I mean, a marathon it could be for India to reach there, to inculcate such nuances in education.
I don't think so. I think such changes can be brought about overnight. I mean, at least school ka core change karne mein, if they can bring out a new education policy and force everyone to go through it and say that an owl was a crow back 30 years ago, then they can do this also. Changing the education curriculum does not take effort, right? Mm-hmm. Getting people to absorb it and make it their own, that takes effort. But we can totally bring about that change. But our unfortunately, our national priorities these days are completely upside down.
Yeah, true. And one thing, I mean, the last thing, I'm not taking more of your time. So our parental generation, right? At least my parental generation. What most of, my guardians are quite radicals and also they are rational in their own thought. They're also gradualists. When I say that, they say it'll all get better in the long run. Though they have seen and appreciate French Revolution and other revolutions around, they would say it is a long run. India is still, 75 years old. India is only 75, 76 years old. The other countries that we see which has progressed, they have long history of revolution. So India will get there. So it is still time. India is going to get there. So this is a gradualist thought and any comments?
Yeah. So I'm not a huge fan of gradualist thought, honestly, because our country has not been gradualist. When the American Constitution was released, it took more than a century for their people of color and black people and women to get the right to vote, right? But our constitution was like, we just, from today onwards, caste is over, deal with it. So we have not really, like, if gradualism is something that people think needs to be the path that should be taken because everyone else has done it, I don't agree with it. I think if a more radical change can be brought about more quickly. Which is no shade on the parents, obviously. As long as they're on the right side of things, then that's okay.
Right. Hoping for the same. Thank you, Vimha. Thank you for this.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Thank you so
much. I was the first one here. See you then.
Bye. Chalo. Bye-bye. Yeah. That was Sandarsh. There's a super chat from Nishant Panda. Nishant, thank you for the $4.99. Nishant says, we keep sowing religious hatred and expect a bountiful garden. This is really sad. Also, as a fellow Odia, Rebati is a great read. I don't know if I've read Rebati. What I read was Fakir Mohan Granthavali, which had everything. I had conjunctivitis and my favorite pastime was reading. So since I couldn't do it, my mom read the entire Fakir Mohan Granthavali to me while I was like lying on the bed with my eyes closed because I couldn't see anything. I was a kid. She also had conjunctivitis, but she still read it. And that's how I know the story of Fakir Mohan Senapati's childhood. But thank you, Nishant. Thank you for the contribution. Rajat Verma, thank you for the $2.50 super chat. Glad to join the live stream after so many days. Thank you, Rajat. Much appreciated. And again, thank you for the contribution. Let's see. Everyone who's in chat, if you could just go to the private chat section and tell me what you want to talk about. I don't have to waste your time. I can just take someone based on the topic and I can tell the rest that you don't have to wait, because there is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people waiting right now. There were more than 10, but some people left. Yash says fault lines in caste politics in India and dilemmas we face. Okay. Hi Yash, you're online.
Hi Vimo, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm also doing okay. Thank you okay. for letting me in. Am I audible properly?
You are audible, yes.
So the question that I have is a bit elaborate. So can you allow me a couple of minutes to sketch out the context?
Sure,
and then
sure.
I'd like to hear your talk.
Sure. Okay, just don't take a couple of minutes. I'm sure you can do it in 1 minute.
Okay. Now it's like a bit elaborate. So, I'll just stop after that and I can.
Okay. Go on. Start.
Yeah, okay. So we have got a lot of content about caste on your channel, and I agree with 100% of what you have to say. But there are some things that still concern me in that. If we take reservation, for example, the total jobs in India, usme se reservation applies to a very tiny amount of jobs. Like unorganized sector, private reservation, it doesn't apply there. Even in those sectors where it applies, so many seats are just left vacant in public sector. Or even if they're filled, so maybe it doesn't go. The public sector jobs, since 1990s, so many of them have just withered away to privatization. So that space has shrunk. Or if we speak of also education, reservation in education, reservation only puts a marginalized person inside the institution. But once they are in institution, there is no protection provided to them by reservation. It just focuses on the formal aspects. But we know, so many cases of marginalized students being harassed, and there's no institution protection that reservation provides. Or something if I'm going to study somewhere, I also need a place to stay. And we know that people from, even if people have the ability to pay, they are not given property or rent just because they belong to. So, reservation is a fairly, it's like a very modest sort of attempt at addressing caste inequalities. And it's not even properly implemented. I personally know people, upper caste people, who have had made fake certificates and gotten into institutions.
Yeah.
So, it's like a very modest attempt, and it's not even, whatever modest it is, it's not properly implemented at all in India.
Okay.
But in the past 70 odd years, we have seen that how political parties have exploited it to show that the Indian state is so great because it does so much for the backward classes, and thus it tries to woo them, the Bahujans, for legitimacy. And this is also what Ambedkar had realized, and that's why just a few years after implementing the constitution, he went on to say, I want to burn this constitution, because he realized that the Indian National Congress had used him as a hack to give legitimacy to the constitution and the state in the eyes of the Bahujans. This was the point that Anand Tendulkar wrote about. So my concern here is that what do we do when people from marginalized backgrounds do end up rallying around and support the establishment or establishmental causes? Like Lok Niti CSDS surveys have told us that since 2014, at both the state and central level, SC, ST and OBC vote has shifted towards and consolidated around the present dispensation. And one can of course point out that how the Sangh has co-opted Dalits, Adivasis and OBC into their fold by exploiting fault lines within them. I think I have heard about Republic of Hindutva is a book by Badri Narayan. He has documented it very well. For example, UP mein BSP came to be dominated by Jadav Dalits. So BJP targeted non-Jadhav Dalits, and so I mean all that is well documented. But okay. what I'm concerned about is like, what should we do? We as in broadly those who fall under on the left side of the political spectrum, when faced with say prominent figures from marginalized backgrounds who come up and say that they are exercising their agency and choosing to support the establishment for their own good. I wouldn't like to take names, but like I have heard of someone who talks about something like Dalit capitalism, that it Dalit capitalism would emancipate the masses by providing them opportunities. And I had also interacted with a spokesperson from Bihar who says that he supports Hindutva by saying that how the present dispensation has done given so much space to the marginalized community and as opposed to the previous regimes. So I mean, we can't just ignore these leaders because simply because they exercise considerable influence among the constituency whose rights we are arguing for. So I mean, there's enough of theoretical work about this. Like I know of something called the westernization of Brahmins and the Sanskritization of Dalits. That's the work of M.N. Srinivas, a sociologist. Or there's also Panchayila's work on Neo-Kshatriyas. But as a, like, at this moment in 21st century India, when we are faced with so many situations, I mean, how do we respond to a votary of the present dispensation, especially when, like, they can easily accuse us of being, us as in the left, being of being condescending or paternalist to them at best, like, we are, like, as if we know their interests better than they do. Or at worst, they can just like say, you are conscientious and you are discriminating against us. By straight away trying to snatch their voices. So
can I respond now?
Just one, maybe I mean.
One of my problems is I still don't know what you're asking exactly.
So what I'm saying is that, I mean, for example, in so an average marginalized person is driven by many things. Like they also read WhatsApp forwards and they also see 9 o'clock TV debates and something like say national security or economic development also moves people. I'm not saying that caste is irrelevant or not there. It is very much there. It is there everywhere, but it's not the only thing always. And what do we do when prominent figures from those castes themselves rally around the establishment and present it as if it's their choice? I mean, there are so many trade-offs and gray areas here. So what do we as those on the political left do to respond to this situation?
Got it. So my response to that, in short, is that first of all, for bringing such a host of views into the mix, my response is that when I started talking about caste, it was primarily out of a little bit of anger against what the positions that I myself had for several years. How could I not have seen this? How could I have remained so blind to this? So I started talking. And one of the things that I came across in conversations and by reading, you know, texts written on social media by Dalit, Bahujan, Adivasi people, is that whenever someone from, you know, Savarna liberal leftist background will ask, what can I do to be a better ally? Their response was always, talk to people in your families. Talk to the people who are like you and try to convince them of the basic truths, right? First of all, the basic, most basic thing is that caste exists and it is a problem. Bahut se log wahi man, like that is the first gate. And it is almost impossible to get many people to cross that also, right?
Agreed.
So imagine someone crosses that gate, then the next gate, then the next gate. And now they're, you know, looking around and they see Ambedkarite thought, Dalit capitalism, and a whole lot of other things. I feel like at that point, they are able to navigate it and come to conclusions by talking to people. So when I talk about caste and reservation, my main goal is to get people to cross those first, second and third gates, right? So sure, there is a lot of things that we need to be aware of. I mean, if you are in favor of Ambedkarite thought, focus more on Ambedkarite thought. If you are someone who thinks that more people should understand the point of reservation, focus on that. At the end of the day, you're going to, it's a vast area and you are going to find your way through it with your own efforts. And the places to which your own efforts lead you are going to be decided by what you find on the way. Nobody is going to become like, there is almost no one who you can say that they understand the entirety of every social issue, right? So it's going to be a longer journey, and I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to do my part, okay, is what my response is.
Okay. But specifically, when we are faced with prominent political leaders from marginalized communities who rally around the ruling party, and who suggest that it is very condescending of people like us to say that they do not represent the interests of the marginalized, then what do we do in that situation? Like, should we listen to them? Should we like discredit them?
You can listen to multiple views, right? My own personal position is that I try to talk about caste and reservation, but I will never argue with someone who has undergone caste-based discrimination in their life. My conversation is with people who are like me. And if someone has a problem with what I say, I will listen to them. I will try to read what the direction that they try to point me towards. That's a great way to do it also. You can, when someone says to you that you don't have the right to say this, you say, okay, explain to me. If you have time, could you please explain to me your position and what can I read more to, you know, educate myself about this?
Okay. But the problem that I see is that many of these leaders, I mean, I'm primarily talking about political parties here, but the way, like, this is, I got from the...
I'm sure no matter which political party you're talking about, you can always find views that support them and views that are against them. And it's not even hard to find them, right? You can also always do a little bit of background check. Okay, this person is saying this, that person is saying that. What are the opposing views to this? And you can educate yourself on that.
I agree, you can educate. What I'm saying is that how these figures exercise a lot of influence among the general public, and that basically constructs what Noam Chomsky called manufacturing consent for the regime, which is doing a lot of harm to things that we would like to see, or we would like to improve upon at the larger societal level.
So what exactly confuses you at that point? Okay, you found someone who's from a backward community, and they're working to help the state, right? Hello.
So they're actively arguing for its ideology.
So they're
mobilizing a lot of people.
So at that point, what is the question that you want to deal with? Like, is your question?
The question is, how do we as people on the, broadly people on the left who are against the establishment deal with such a figure?
I told you, you educate yourself and you try to find, if you, there are two possibilities, right? You will either agree with them or you will find that sometimes members of a marginalized community find it useful to align with the dominant political strain of the of society at that point of time in order to make advancement possible. So there will be, there are black Republicans right now in America in the presidential race. An Indian guy has entered, and I wish he hadn't, because he's anti-trans, anti-climate change, not anti-climate change, anti-climate change awareness. So what is happening with him there? He's like, okay, there is no way someone like me is rising up with society. Here are these people and they have some radical views. Let me just agree with them in hopes that I will rise up at least in their party, because they also need to show people that they're not racist, right? They keep getting defensive about it. Yes. So maybe I'll join and I'll get there. So Republicans are like, see, we also have a person of color. And he's like, see, I'm not like other people who are of my skin tone. So that happens sometimes. But in general, I would always say that when you face opposition of that sort from people who are from a marginalized background and are arguing in favor of the state, hear them out. Try to educate yourself on what their position is. And sure, maybe you will go over that side. Maybe you will stay where you are. Maybe you will come over to another side. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be provisional.
Okay, thank you.
There is Yash. Before you go, let me just read to you a comment that Taranga has sent. Yeah, but Yash, we can engage with them on the question of why capitalism and fascism, religious majoritarianism are okay with them. Many people do shift and change in the discussion.
No, I am primarily talking about politicians here. I mean, I have not met them virtually. I mean,
okay.
It's a prominent spokesperson, national level spokesperson. Mm-hmm.
I get it. Cool, Yash. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That was Yash. And let me just... Okay, no. This is a comment from Taranga. It was about how she does not like the term Desh Prem. Wait, where is it? Are, kahan gaya? Anyway, I think I've lost it. So let me take a look at the private chat. Who all wants to talk about one? Arjun is here. Arjun was actually here last week also. He wanted to talk about responsibilities of the opposition. So let me take on Arjun. Arjun, you're online.
Namaste aapko.
Namaste.
तो मैं इसके बारे में बात करना चाह रहा था. अभी काफी टाइम हो गया उस चीज को. जो मणिपुर पे जो अपोजिशन लेकर आया था उसको क्या कहते हैं यार, मैं नाम ही भूल गया यार, क्या कहते हैं उसको, बिल
कॉन्फिडेंस मोशन,
नो कॉन्फिडेंस मोशन में अपोजिशन लेकर आया था मणिपुर के ऊपर. तो मतलब मैं जब इंडिया अलायंस बना था तब मुझे काफी होप थी, लेकिन जब मैंने वो नो कॉन्फिडेंस मोशन की उनकी जो स्पीच देखी उसको देखकर लगा कि उन्होंने प्रिपरेशन बहुत अच्छी नहीं की थी. जब राहुल गांधी का जब मैंने वो वाला भाषण सुना था जो अडानी इशू पर उन्होंने दिया था, वो बहुत अच्छा था, बहुत अच्छा. लेकिन अडानी इशू पर फिर भी बीजेपी के पास कुछ सवाल है, जैसे कि आपके लोग भी तो अडानी के साथ है, है ना, शरद पवार है और महाराष्ट्र ये अशोक गहलोत है, लेकिन मणिपुर पे उनके पास कोई जवाब नहीं था बीजेपी के पास. तो ये एक ऐसा टाइम था, एक ऐसा मौका था जिसमें विपक्ष पूरी तरह से खत्म कर सकता था, शायद मोदी जी की पूरी छवि को खत्म कर,
क्योंकि पार्लियामेंट ऑलरेडी एक रिग्ड गेम बन चुका है. जब राहुल गांधी स्पीच दे रहे थे तो तुम्हें क्या लगता है वो मणिपुर के ऊपर डेटा पॉइंट्स रेज करते और उनको करने दिया जाता? वो ही हैड रेज सो मेनी डेटा पॉइंट्स विद द अडानी स्पीच, वो सारा का सारा एक्सपंज हो गया.
हाँ,
राइट. वो आई थिंक द ऑपोजिशन इस समय जो काम कर रही है वो इस अवेयरनेस के साथ कर रही है कि हमको ड्रामा क्रिएट करना है, क्योंकि हम पॉइंट्स रेज करेंगे तो पॉइंट्स गायब कर दिए जाएंगे, क्योंकि हमारे कंट्रोल में कुछ नहीं है. स्पीकर इज टेकिंग देयर साइड, द गवर्नमेंट इज प्रिटेंडिंग एज इफ इट्स द ऑपोजिशन एंड वी आर द गवर्नमेंट. एंड सो ये लोग अभी उस अप्रोच को ही फॉलो नहीं कर रहे हैं, और वो लोग कुछ भी स्पेस देते थे ना वो खत्म नहीं कर पाते, बिकॉज ये गेम पूरी तरह से रिग्ड हो चुका है.
हाँ हाँ, इस तरह से मैंने सोचा नहीं है, पर आपकी बात सही लगती है मुझे. लेकिन मैंने कुछ पत्रकार वगैरह को सुना था सत्य हिंदी पे, तो उन्होंने यही मतलब यही आपत्ति लगी थी, और मुझे भी जब मैंने सुना था स्पीच को तो वैसे ही मुझे लगा था कि कमेंट और कंटेंट में बैलेंस नहीं था. खैर, आपकी बात के हिसाब से हो सकता है कि वैसा किया हो उन्होंने, पर उनकी एक स्पीच की बहुत जरूरत है. कई पत्रकार बता रहे थे कि जो राहुल गांधी के जो फॉलोवर्स है वो ये डिमांड कर रहे थे कि उनको और बोलना चाहिए था, और अच्छे से बोलना चाहिए था. तो यानी उनकी एक स्पीच की जरूरत है. अब उन्हें भार भी देना चाहिए, लेकिन एक ऐसी स्पीच देना चाहिए दमदार, जो मणिपुर इशू के हर, जैसे उनकी पूरी एक लिस्ट थी सुप्रीम कोर्ट में, पूरी लिस्ट बनी हुई है कि इतनी एफआईआर हुई है लेकिन इतने पकड़े गए हैं, ये सारे क्वेश्चंस है, वो लिस्ट ही आप बोल दीजिए बस लेकर.
सर, एक चीज तो अर्जुन, एक चीज ये भी है ना कि खाली स्पीच से कुछ होता नहीं है. तो पार्लियामेंट में एक घासू स्पीच दे दोगे, उससे क्या होगा? उससे एक वीडियो क्लिप बनेगी जिसके ऊपर लोग बॉलीवुड के,
लेकिन बाहर आकर भी,
बाहर उन्होंने दिया है कांग्रेस की तरफ से प्रेस कॉन्फ्रेंसेस होती रहती हैं. अभी कल या परसों ही उन्होंने लद्दाख में एक स्पीच दी है, और पार्लियामेंट में जो हलबलू हुआ उसका एक कंक्लूजन ये निकला कि सुप्रीम कोर्ट ने मणिपुर के बहुत सारे केसेस आसाम के एक हाई कोर्ट को ट्रांसफर कर दिए हैं, सो दैट निष्पक्ष जांच हो सके, क्योंकि उनको भरोसा नहीं था कि वहां पर ढंग से होगा. सो हुआ है, चीजें हुई हैं. हमें हमेशा इन चीजों को एक भाषण के पर्सपेक्टिव से नहीं देखना चाहिए. हम लोग इन चीजों को एंटरटेनमेंट में बदल देते हैं, और जिसके फलस्वरूप ये होता है कि राहुल गांधी ने आया और एक अच्छा सा भाषण दे दिया और हम बोले हाँ हो गया, जो होना तो हो गया, जबकि वो मणिपुर जो स्टेट है वहां पे अभी भी हिंसा हो रही है.
हाँ मतलब मैं उसको एंटरटेनमेंट में कन्वर्ट नहीं कर रहा हूँ, मैं ये कहना चाह रहा हूँ कि एक ऐसा भाषण हो तो हम उसको, मैं भी यूज करूँ ना, मैं भी स्टेटस पे लगाऊँ या उसको, तो ताकि वो मैसेज कन्वे करना आसान हो। अब राहुल
मेरे
गांधी
पास एक
तो
और मेरे पास एक बेटर सॉल्यूशन है। जिस एंथुजियाज्म के साथ हम लोग उम्मीद कर रहे हैं कि राहुल गांधी और ऑपोजिशन कुछ करें, उसी एंथुजियाज्म के साथ तुम और मैं क्यों ना ये एक्सपेक्ट करें कि सरकार एक भाषण दे। नरेंद्र
नहीं,
मोदी ने
वो एक्सपेक्ट
प्रधानमंत्री
करना
ने
शुरू
पार्लियामेंट में
करना।
भाषण दिया, मणिपुर के बारे में खास कुछ बोला नहीं। प्रधानमंत्री ने लाल किले पर 15 अगस्त को भाषण दिया, वहां भी मणिपुर के बारे में बस कैजुअली एक चीज मेंशन कर दी। प्रधानमंत्री से हम लोग एक्सपेक्टेशन रखना बंद क्यों कर चुके हैं? हमारी सारी एक्सपेक्टेशन राहुल गांधी से क्यों है? वो तो लीडर ऑफ ऑपोजिशन में नहीं है।
अरे वो एक्सपेक्टेशन मोदी जी से खत्म हो गई है, इसीलिए हम उनसे रख रहे हैं, वरना लिए अपोजिशन से कोई एक्सपेक्टेशन नहीं रखता है, क्योंकि अपोजिशन तो अपना काम 100% एफिशिएंसी से करता है। पर
करना
अब जो है
चाहिए।
ऐसी सिचुएशन बन गई है कि जहां जो सरकार है वो तो कर ही नहीं रही है, वो कुछ सुनती नहीं है, समझती नहीं है, और उसको हटाना ही है, एक ही ऑप्शन है, तो उनसे कोई एक्सपेक्टेशन है ही नहीं। हालांकि मैं मोदी भक्तों को ये कहता हूँ कि देखिए आप मणिपुर पे बोल नहीं रहे, और मोदी भक्तों के पास एक्चुअली कोई जवाब है ही नहीं इसका,
हाँ तो
लेकिन फिर
पूछते
भी
रहो ना, सवाल का
हाँ
उसका जवाब यही है कि
पूछते
पूछते रहो, पूछते
हाँ
रहो।
लेकिन उनका एक एजेंडा है जो मैं समझ गया हूँ, वो एक द्वेष है कम्युनिटी से, वो ही है समर्थन का कारण, बाकी और कोई कारण मुझे समझ में नहीं आता, क्योंकि अब तो स्पष्ट हो गया है ना। अडानी इशू पर तो फिर भी ये लोग आर्ग्यूमेंट कर रहे थे, पर यहाँ पर तो बिल्कुल स्पष्ट हो गया है कि कुछ बोल ही नहीं रहे प्रधानमंत्री, कोई चिंता ही नहीं है उनको, उसके बाद
नहीं,
भी ये लोग अब
ये
है तो है।
प्रधानमंत्री का अब मुझे लगता है हम लोग एक बड़ी हद तक प्रधानमंत्री के एक्चुअल मोटिवेशन भूल जाते हैं। ऐसा नहीं है कि प्रधानमंत्री भाषण दे नहीं सकते और जवाब दे नहीं सकते। उनका बड़ा गोल यह है कि वो इमेज को लेके बहुत कॉन्शियस हैं और वो
हाँ
चाहते हैं एक, जब भी उनकी इमेज आती है तो हम देखते हो ना, वो फोटो में अकेले होते हैं, राइट? या तो अकेले होते हैं या तो किसी को ऐसे करके एडवाइस दे रहे होते हैं। ही कैन नॉट बी सीन एज समवन हुज गेटिंग आस्क्ड समथिंग। अगर एक वीडियो क्लिप जाता है जहां पे उनसे कोई सवाल पूछ रहा है, वही उनको अलाउड नहीं है। सवाल का जवाब देना दूर की बात है, कौन पूछ रहा है अलग बात है। ही वो चाहते हैं कि ये मैसेज जाए कि मुझसे कोई कुछ पूछ ही नहीं सकता, मैं इतना बड़ा हूं। एंड दैट इज द मेन प्रॉब्लम। इसीलिए राहुल गांधी के जब स्पीच के दौरान कैमरा राहुल गांधी पे रहता ही नहीं है, स्पीकर का मुंह दिखाता है। वो बहुत इमेज कॉन्शियस है एंड दिस एंटायर गेम इज अबाउट इमेज, एटलीस्ट फॉर हिम। फॉर अदर पीपल इट मे बी अबाउट सर्वाइवल, डेमोक्रेसी एंड होल लॉट ऑफ अदर थिंग्स। फॉर हिम इट इज ओनली अबाउट लुकिंग गुड। इसीलिए जब इसरो का स्पेसशिप चंद्रयान चांद पे लैंड कर रहा था,
वो
हमको कंप्यूटर स्क्रीन की जगह नरेंद्र मोदी की शक्ल देखनी पड़ी, बिकॉज इट्स ऑल अबाउट
तो
इमेज
एक
फॉर।
एक पैटर्न है उसमें तो, कि नरेंद्र मोदी जी बोलते ही नहीं है, जैसे अभी ये वाला इशू भी था बृजभूषण जी का, उस पर भी वो बोले नहीं, तो
या
ये तो उसका एक पैटर्न है उसका, कि
बोले
वो
नहीं,
इमेज
बोले नहीं, सिर्फ बोले नहीं, बोले नहीं, और भारतीय कुश्ती संघ को बर्बाद कर दिया। क्योंकि अब हमारे कुश्ती हमारे हमारे जो पहलवान हैं वो भारत को रिप्रेजेंट नहीं कर पाएंगे इंटरनेशनल इवेंट्स पे, उनको
मैंने अभी
इंडिपेंडेंट
अभी
बन
अभी
के जाना
देखा।
पड़ेगा। उस एक आदमी को सेक्सुअल असॉल्ट की चार्जेस से बचाने के लिए कुश्ती संघ को बर्बाद कर दिया गया।
हाँ, अरे
सोचो।
ऐसे बहुत सारी चीजें मोदी जी ने की। एक बार तो इन्होंने झंडा नीचे कर दिया था भारत का, एक
कहा
ब्रिटेन की महारानी की मृत्यु हुई थी, तो उसकी उनकी मृत्यु पर झंडा नीचे करने का क्या मतलब, इससे ये नेशनलिज्म कहाँ से हो गया, मैं तो समझ ही नहीं पाता इनका। और
ये हुआ
मोदी
था, ये
भक्तों को
मुझे
जैसे
मुझे
मैं
नहीं
बताता
पता,
हूँ,
मुझे नहीं पता।
अच्छा नहीं पता है, अरे आप सर्च करिए, ब्रिटेन की महारानी की मृत्यु पर इन्होंने भारत का झंडा नीचे कर दिया था। अब इतना बड़ा काम, इतना स्पष्ट प्रत्यक्ष प्रमाण है मोदी जी के जो भारत को लेकर के क्या विचार है उनके, वो पूरा स्पष्ट है, तो मोदी भक्त तो सुनते नहीं है, और अपोजिशन भी इसको कोई बड़ा मुद्दा बना नहीं पाया। और
ये
अच्छा
11 सितंबर 2012 का है, क्वीन एलिजाबेथ द सेकेंड्स डेथ, इंडिया मोन्स डिमाइज, नेशनल फ्लैग्स फ्लाई एट हाफ मास्ट। द नेशनल फ्लैग विल फ्री फ्लोन एट हाफ मास्ट ऑन द डे ऑफ मॉर्निंग थ्रू आउट इंडिया ऑन ऑल बिल्डिंग्स वेयर द नेशनल फ्लैग इज फ्लोन रेगुलरली। देयर विल बी नो ऑफिशियल एंटरटेनमेंट ऑन द डे। आई थिंक ये एक कॉमनवेल्थ नेशन होने का एक साइड इफेक्ट है, इवन आई डोंट अग्री विथ इट, बट ये मोदी जी के अलावा कोई और होता तो शायद वो भी करता। ये मतलब एक कॉमनवेल्थ नेशन होने का ट्रेडिशन में आता है। आई डोंट अग्री विथ इट, बट आई डोंट थिंक इट इज स्पेसिफिकली डू विथ नरेंद्र मोदी। और मुझे लगता है कोई और होता तो वो भी यही करता।
नहीं, पर शायद मुझे तो नहीं लगता कि क्योंकि मैं ना मैंने न्यूज लॉन्ड्री पर सुना था, तो उन्होंने कहा था कि ऐसा कोई जरूरी नहीं था, मतलब आप
अच्छा
वो बता सकते थे, ऐसा झंडा नीचे करने का क्या मतलब है, ये तो आपने एक तरह से
राइट, मुझे नहीं पता इस बारे में, पर मुझे लगता है कि ये मतलब नरेंद्र मोदी के व्हिम्स और फैंसीज के बेसिस पे नहीं हुआ होगा, इसका कोई और कारण रहा होगा।
हाँ हो सकता है। ठीक है, अच्छा एक छोटी सी कहानी सुनाना चाहता हूँ, उसके
ठीक है,
बाद मैं जा
अर्जुन
रहा हूँ। अरे
अर्जुन अर्जुन, अभी कहानी के लिए टाइम नहीं है, मेरे पास अभी 8 लोग
बहुत
हैं,
छोटी सी
ठीक है?
कहानी है, अरे बस एक
नहीं
मिनट
यार,
एक
टाइम नहीं
मिनट।
है, टाइम नहीं अर्जुन, अगले अगले हफ्ते आना, बात करते हैं, ठीक है? चलो बाय बाय। दैट वॉज अर्जुन एंड द नेक्स्ट कॉलर, लेट मी टेक अ लुक एट, गाइज आई एम स्टिल चूजिंग ऑन द बेसिस ऑफ टॉपिक, ओके? राइट, आई विल टेक अहमद। अहमद यू आर ऑनलाइन,
Am I audible?
यस यू आर ऑडिबल, यू कैन स्पीक अ लिटल लाउडर इफ यू वॉन्ट,
Okay.
गो ऑन।
Let me give you just a brief from what I'm going through because of you.
ओके
I was a Muslim by choice since I was 16, and I started practicing. I dedicated my whole life since then. Till now, it's been like 4.5, 5 years, and I'm so dedicated. Since after COVID, I have been so dedicated to my religion that I have actually memorized half of the Quran.
ओके
And from last 2 years, I have joined the Islamic school.
ओके ओके
And now, just a couple of weeks ago, I came across your videos. And now I am just unable to process how things are going, because the things you are saying are making more sense than I thought they would. I've looked
ओके
through religions, but I never gave a serious thought about atheism, because it was fed to me that there is no possibility that there can be no God. Like, there has to be a God. Like, everything has a designer. But now the things you are saying are making so much sense, and now I started to look at my th the things which I used to believe in. And once you said that religions always justify themselves when they are asked to explain something about it, and I saw that most of the things I'm doing, I'm justifying them rather than giving a logical and reasonable explanation about them. And now I'm totally having a meltdown. I'm overwhelmed. I've lost sleep since, like, I don't know, 15 days.
I'm
And
sorry to
now,
hear that. I'm sorry to
no,
hear that. But
not
these
in
things
a
happen.
bad way.
Okay.
It's not in a bad way. It's like I have lost sleep because now I can look through more things, and now I'm more open-minded about things which are making sense. And
Okay.
now I want you to help me. How can I, like, I am learning about everything, like the videos and all the books I'm trying to read, but it's just existential crisis, I guess, because since past 4 years, I had like, if I die, there's nothing's there, because I know I'm going to heaven. That was my belief. And within 15 days, it just changed like this. And now I want you to, like, just give me a little roadmap so that I won't feel the same.
A roadmap is what you had until now, Ahmed. Right now, what you have is freedom. The world is your oyster. Now, you don't have to live your life according to what you had been told. You can choose your lifestyle. You can choose your path going forward. That's your new roadmap. But can I ask you a couple of questions?
Yeah, sure.
Were you born in a Muslim family?
Yes.
Okay, I was confused because you said you were a Muslim by choice.
Yes, because my family don't practice, like, not at all, like zero,
Oh,
like that.
okay. So your family is kind of like secular minded. They don't practice really. They're not very religious, but you went into a slightly more conservative outlook with
Yes.
respect to your religion. Okay. Okay.
Yes, and
And what
that.
exactly? Huh, go on.
And then I started wearing the hijab. Like, my father didn't want it to take me out with him because I was wearing
Okay.
hijab.
Okay.
That type of family.
So what do you, have you told about this change in your outlook to your family?
No, because now I don't know why this is happening to me. But
Okay.
since like 6 months ago, my family suddenly started practicing, and they are more practicing than I have ever seen anyone, especially my
6 months
mom.
ago, I thought your family was not really into religion.
Yes, they were not. My father still isn't, but my brother, when I started practicing, he started practicing with me. But my mom, she is now so much into religion that she is, and now she is like, because of all this oppression against Muslims, she is now more into it. Like, she is
Yeah, that
pushing
happens.
herself. She's pushing herself to a limit where she's like, I don't care about anything. So much bad is happening towards Muslims, and now I cannot take it anymore. And she just went into the religious mode. And now I
So
am like,
their move towards a slightly more conservative way of living was after you?
no. It just happened.
Okay.
Mine happened just 15 days ago.
Okay.
And now I don't think so. I'm a Muslim anymore.
So what exactly was, which piece of content of mine, if any specific piece of content it was, which one did you find most, like, because of it, you changed your mind?
The first one was when you said that there was a reel of yours. I think it was on YouTube and short, and you were saying about the whenever a religion is asked to explain something about it, they just justify it. And I was looking at it from my lens, and then I put yours, and then I can see that about women, I was a conservative, and I used to think that yes, women are different. Even though in the back of my head I had like, no, but I still had to have a job, right? I cannot be dependent completely on the guy who I'm gonna marry, right? These type of things were there always, but specifically, I never told anyone that. Always, I never had any problem with LGBTQ community because
Okay.
I knew I was a part of it.
Oh, you are part of the LGBTQ community?
Yes,
Okay.
I never told anyone about it, and even my friends who were liberal and are still, I just told a couple of them, and they were like questioning me because a couple of them knows that if you are a Muslim, then you are not allowed to be homosexual. So, and they were like, but your religion says that. I'm like, shut up.
No, it's as an I've also seen people who try to bring together the religious outlook with their sexual or gender orientation, and they say, yeah, there is a middle ground I can find. There are gay Christians, there are trans Hindus, there are, I'm sure there's a category out there somewhere which is LGBTQ plus Islam, although how they
Yes.
make it work, I cannot possibly imagine.
No, there are women, and there are videos of these women, and they are being bashed left and right. When they say that I wear a hijab, I'm a Muslim, I pray, but I have a girlfriend. And these women are being bashed left and right by conservative everywhere, like Orthodox Muslim. They are like, if you want to sin, then sin in your private rooms. Don't show it to anyone and all.
But then that is also hypocritical, right? Sin is sin. It's
Yeah.
not like if you're sinning in
Yes.
private, God can't see it.
Exactly. And this is why I came to you, because just for like millisecond I was thinking that no problem, even if my religion is imperfect, even though I know that things are wrong in this, even though I don't have any real explanations but justification, I will still believe in it. But I cannot, because my mind just do not allow me to do that. It's like I'm going
Although
against myself.
I am a little sympathetic towards the position that your parents find themselves in, because a lot of times religion survives because it like if someone is getting hammered for their religious identity, one of the most natural reactions to it is that, nah, you are hammering me on it, I will hold on to it even more tightly. That is why, like, I've heard stories from I have heard stories about, not from, because I was not there, during the Goa Inquisition, when the Portuguese were converting people from Hindu to Christianity, back when it happened, when Portuguese people were first making contact with the people of Goa, there were people who, like, they made it illegal to a certain extent to be Hindu, like people are punished. So what they did was that they'll have boxes with clothes, and if you removed all the clothes, and at the bottom of the box there will be image of a deity, of a Hindu deity. So people try to keep alive that which someone else is trying to kill. And in many cases, like, of course, all religious violence is religious violence by religious people against all other religious people. Like, atheists hardly ever do anything. But I can understand why, in the political climate that we are going through right now, your parents find it important to hold on to what they find sacred. So I hope one of your problems is not coming out to them. Are you planning to?
No. Okay. Because when I told
So your only problem is your roadmap, right?
Yes, because right now it was so, like, the anxiety level was so high that I was unable to do anything. Like, the more I was thinking about it, the more it was getting worse, and the more I have to spend looking through stuff, because, like, most of the reasons why I chose to believe were crumbling down in front of my own eyes.
I feel like it may also have had something to do with the fact that your family originally was not very orthodox, and the fact that you, as you know, as far as your LGBTQ identity is concerned, it is always going to be a sore thumb sticking out of your religion. So maybe those pressures were already at work, and I kind of just pushed you over the cliff.
Yes, maybe.
Maybe. So yeah, don't worry about it. To my best advice would be, accept the freedom that you now have, at least intellectually, even if not socially, to explore who you are, and figure out, like, you're young, you have your entire life in front of you. Figure out who you want to be 10 years from now, and then work towards it. Create your own roadmap is what I'm saying.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Don't call me sir. It's okay. Chalo. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That was a sweet call. I liked it. Right, so we are at the 1 hour mark. I don't know how long I can do this. I will give it 15 more minutes. But I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in the chat, and I'm going to have to choose just one or two people. So nobody else join, please. Pierre Renaud wanted to talk about Star Trek last time. They're back. And then there is... okay, Luffy. I don't think Luffy has said what they want to talk about. Luffy. Okay, Luffy ko pichli baar liya tha shayad. So I'm going to remove some people from chat, and please don't re-add yourself, because I'm not going to be able to take everyone. Shiroyasha, sorry. Shiroyasha, Kuataya, Anonymous. I don't know who Anonymous is, so they also go. Let me take Pierre Annoyed, or iske baad one more person I'll take. I still haven't decided who. So if anyone has a topic that they think can wait till next week, please go. Feel free to leave. Pierre Annoyed ke baad ek hi vyakti ko lunga, and I'll choose that after I'm done. Pierre Annoyed, you're online.
Yeah, hi, Vimo. So, I know you posted some 3 months ago a video about Star Trek and imperialism, and I thought I'd just poke you a bit about that video.
Sure, go ahead.
In general, I completely agree with the case that that the Starfleet and the Federation in general is an imperialist power in a certain sense. But if you remember, there was this episode called Accession in DS9. And in that, I'm sure you might not remember what it was totally about, but I'll just give you a fast run through of what happened. So this guy, this 200-year-old Bajoran came through the world mode and said that he was the real... He was the real... This was the cast episode, effectively, of Star Trek.
So for the audience, let me just read out the plot from Wikipedia. An archaic Bajoran spaceship emerges from the wormhole. Its passenger, Akoram Lan, is a revered Bajoran poet who disappeared 200 years ago. Akoram claims to have been chosen by the prophets as their emissary, a role thought to belong to Captain Sisko, who never felt comfortable being the Bajoran's messiah figure, cedes the title without resistance. Yeah, and then I don't want to read more because I'll ruin the episode for people. But go on, what's your point?
Yeah, so the whole point is that once he becomes the emissary, because he is a 200-year-old poet, he basically reinstitutes the system of caste that the Bajorans have. And because of that, there's a lot of violence, right? And Sisko's whole reasoning in this, in the sense that he wishes to get back the title that he ceded away, is that if he doesn't take that power back again, then this horrible, terrible practice continues to exist. So I was thinking, if you can draw parallels with this to our real history, like the Mahad Satyagraha, right, where Ambedkar goes and is effectively prevented by caste Hindus from doing the Mahad Satyagraha, because the British government says that we're with you on this, but there's a whole court case and you need to follow through on this, right? I mean, and he eventually wins that court case. So what do you think about the, the British imperialist powers were using the caste problem in our culture to their benefits. But still, there was a liberal sort of sense of upliftment that was there, and the people who were involved in the caste conversation always used it to their benefit. So what do you think about that? How do you deal with that question? If I took a lot of time.
That's okay. I don't hate Star Trek, right? I don't hate Starfleet. I criticize Starfleet and the formulation of it as a story by a collection of Western writers, because it kind of glosses over a lot of things in The Next Generation, right? But DS9 is actually quite a bit more nuanced. In fact, it is probably the most nuanced Star Trek series ever. So if you look at the overall Star Trek, bank of stories, you get the sense that Starfleet is a fascist organization, which is, it may be described as fascist even, which goes around colonizing and using resources and imposing its own view of civilization on native cultures of planets, which may very well be very different, right? But Deep Space Nine is actually quite different. And the only way it suffers is what I said in the video, in that it still is kind of a little bit of a white man's burden thing that is happening there. So I'm not saying that the British did not help at all. It is possible that some things they did might have had positive consequences after they did it. But that was not their intention, was it? That is my point.
Yeah, I completely agree. But I'd also like to bring up the fact that the people who we view the story through their eyes from, right, like in TNG, Captain Picard, or like DS9, all of those people are good people, right? All the admirals you meet during the stories, right, they're evil people, the people who are outside of this small select group that we find, right? So that I see is the reason why Starfleet is seen as bad, right? Because we're viewing the entire story from a select group of people who are generally good people, right? And that's what causes the problem. Starfleet as an organization might be bad, but the people who we view the story from are always necessarily the best people, right? That made to be...
No, let me give you another view on it. Do you think that the British people who violently suppressed every rebellion in India thought of themselves as bad people?
I'm definitely not going to
that's
support British imperialism.
If Starfleet was real, right, and the stories are being told from the perspective of Starfleet, and the protagonists are all Starfleet captains or admirals or first officers, then this is exactly the kind of story we will hear. Which is why I find Lower Decks a little bit refreshing, because there is a power structure in Lower Decks. Lower Decks is a very funny Star Trek cartoon series. If you guys want to watch it, please do. It's quintessentially Star Trek in many ways.
I'm a huge fan of Star Trek generally, and I think this is just like a personal thing. I was a little bit irked by that video. I completely agree with
it.
It's like a fandom that I have so much love for that, any sort of criticism sort of...
Which is why I put a disclaimer in the beginning of it. I put a disclaimer in the beginning of that video saying, I am going to criticize Star Trek and I'm going to do it because I love it. This is not hate.
Yeah, totally. I understand. I'm just. I thought I'd come on and I wanted to speak to you about this for a long time. I've been watching your stuff very recently, and I'm a big fan. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I think, especially the conversation around caste that you bring up, being a Dalit myself, I think it's very useful to see out in the open in YouTube. So I just wanted to, you know, just come in. Sorry for taking everyone's time. A lot of people might not care, or you know, but yeah, thanks for at least like taking my call.
Thank you, Per Annoyed. Thank you. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly.
Yeah, it's just Per and Annoyed. It's a Per. Little bit of a pun. Yeah. So okay. Paranoid. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Could simply have written Paranoid.
Yeah, sure.
I had this old joke about this place near Delhi where everyone is afraid. It's called Paranoida.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I'm annoying a bunch of people. So, you know, oh, wow, there's someone who says that they'd like to talk about mangas and comics with me. So, yeah, I guess I found another friend here. Anyways, yeah, cool. Amazing community. Yeah, you guys can, you know, have fun.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Please come back. Bye-bye.
Yeah, sure.
That was... Oh, wait. मैंने गलती से और किसी को निकाल दिया क्या? हाँ, that was Paranoid. He already automatically left. Right. So now I am going to take Bhavesh Vyas. And Shiroyasha, if you have a very small point, then you can stay and I'll take you right after them. I don't have time for other people. So Bhavesh Vyas and then Shiroyasha. Let's see. Hi, Bhavesh. You're online.
Hello. I'm audible?
Yes, you're audible.
Yeah, first of all, congratulate on Chandrayaan 3 mission and Pragyan Ananda being...
Thank you. I was personally responsible for it.
So, question was like, from yesterday, I am seeing the video of Pragyan Ananda on the Sadhguru's video on Sadhguru's channel. So, I've also seen similar people like Sachin was following one Baba. And like also Sadhguru have many videos like famous people. There was one video Chef Sanjeev Kapoor, PV Sindhu. So I was like, it become very influential when we see videos of famous and successful people on Sadhguru's channel. So like, how can we rationalize? Yeah, I know that being successful and being rational is different. But like when we see that they are following routine, they are achieving something. So there must be something which is good.
But all it tells you is that they found a certain amount of strength in their religious belief when they were trying to focus on the sport of their choice, right?
Yes.
But there are other sports people who are not religious and they also do well.
Yeah.
Right? Religion is not the path to supremacy in sport.
Okay.
Right? Okay. That's all. Usme aur kuch zyada complicated nahi hai. Sure, there is this chess player who's brought a lot of laurels to the country by winning a chess championship, and he's very smart. And he also happens to be religious. So what?
No, but I was just thinking like the general masses become influenced, like Virat Kohli gone to some Baba, Sachin was following somebody. So
Let me ask you this. Suppose there is someone who does not believe in God and they watch Pragyananda win a chess tournament and they find out that he's religious. Do you think they will start believing in God?
I think like you gave the example, like someone who doesn't follow anything, but when he or she sees the video of Sadhguru with Pragyananda and explore more videos of him, that it might be possible that he or she become a bhakta of Sadhguru.
I think it may lead some people to explore meditation and religious rituals, etc., as a way to be more disciplined in their sport. But I think most people who say that, see, he won a chess championship because he's, you know, he follows religious rituals, those people did not change their minds. They already believed that. They're just using, as I said, and as Emmett pointed out when she was here some time ago, most people are not using these things as explanations. They're using them as justifications. They are already of the opinion that religion is amazing. Somebody who is religious wins a sport tournament and they offer it as a justification. See, the reason I believe is because, see, this happened. No, you believed before that. Now, there may be people who change their mind and who get into religion as a result of this. But again, that's all personal choice. People should feel free to do whatever they need to in order to become better at their sport, as long as they're not hurting anyone.
Yeah. So like I'm 22 and done engineering. So like there are so many people who became graduated, but like they are doing, like they are following things which are very unscientific and very irrational. So like, what's the reason?
What is the question again?
Like, even after, like we say that because of education, we become rational. But like nowadays, many graduated people in science fields are becoming irrational and unscientific. So what is the reason? What's the gap?
I don't think we become rational as a result of education. I think the role of education in inculcating a scientific temper and rationality is overrated. If that, like, लोग बोलते हैं ना कि अगर लोग एजुकेटेड हो जाएंगे तो धर्म को छोड़ देंगे, नहीं छोड़ेंगे. यू डोंट अंडरस्टैंड व्हाट सरप्टिशियस लेवल्स धर्म वर्क्स ऑन. इफ यू बिकम अ पावरफुल कैटेगरी ऑफ पीपल, रिगार्डलेस ऑफ हाउ एजुकेटेड यू आर, वन ऑफ यू विल बी मोर लाइकली टू फॉल फॉर अ रिलीजन, एंड देन रिलीजन विल गेट टू द रेस्ट ऑफ दोज पीपल थ्रू दैट पर्सन. रिलीजन हर एज में अपने आप को उस एज के सबसे शक्तिशाली फिनोमेनन के साथ अटैच करता है. So Christianity attaches itself to Roman empires. Islam attaches itself to certain other empires. Hinduism attaches itself to kings. It goes on and on, right? So पढ़ाई करने से necessarily धर्म का impact कम होगा. I don't agree with it. I don't even understand how people can continue to think of it when there is so much evidence to the contrary.
Like, so just if you have 5 more minutes, like that, and not
you had questions. This was one of them. Your other question was, let me just read it out so that we don't get sidetracked. One was Pragyananda, and then there was you have a similar experience like Emmat, and also you have a question about Sadhguru. I think you already asked the one about Sadhguru. Go on.
So, like, I was in a depressive phase for, like, 2-3 years in my late teens, okay? So, there was, I couldn't get help from anything. Like, I was feeling depressive all day long. So, in my college, somebody told me, like, I was religious or believed, like, doing Hanuman Chalisa and going to temples will help me out. So, one of my friend was a SCON follower. So, he just... I told him that I want to start chanting Gayatri Mantra. So he told me, so you shouldn't do that because it's not that effective. You will not able to chant it precisely. So I will give you another mantra. So he told me of that ISKCON mantra. And he told me that all the beats are not authentic. Only from the ISKCON beats are authentic at that. So like
beads, as in beads of the like the chanting beads.
Yeah,
that's what.
Yeah. So he said that
that's capitalism. That's capitalism.
So he said that.
Original baal hai, baaki sab bakwas hai.
So he told me like I followed instructions and yeah, it was temporarily good for because I became happy for some time. I followed my routine. But when I got into the teachings precisely, I realized that it is becoming a more of cultish. Like one of the things which is in my mind now, one girl asked them in a seminar that I don't want to talk with my family members when they came to home, like extended family members. So they said that you don't have to because they asked that is... if they are following religion. So she said no. So they said then it's not necessary to talk to them. They are not religious people. They will so that's the thing. But like when I used to become more rational, I feared like because that I will go to hell, I will burn in hell. Yeah, so I really was very traumatizing. Like I even today it's hard to like I relapse into that many times. So
relapse into what way of thinking that you will go to hell?
Like No, it's not. But when I left ISKCON, then I got into Acharya Prashant videos. When I left Acharya Prashant videos, then Virat Kohli, Baba, I became addicted to it. Then I just get out. So like it's.
Yeah, it's like you know how there are some places where people go to defecate openly. If you are walking through that field, you escape one pile of shit and you fall into another one. It's like that only.
Yeah.
Go on.
Like two things particularly, like many of my friends and many, like my friends are because of masculinity going down and that feminism going up. They are more defended to it, and like older persons are defended to capitalism, like prices going high of people eating.
Ye sab linked hai. Religion, toxic masculinity, patriarchy, capitalism, sab linked hai. Ek bahut bada system hai. And I saw a very liberal content creator kuch dino pehle post a reel on Instagram saying, yaar sab kuch thodi patriarchy hai. Matlab tum aisi koi ek jagah bata do jahan pe patriarchy nahi dikhti. And the answer to that is nahi hai. Seriously, the reason people whine about patriarchy and all these toxic things is because they are everywhere. It's not like it's the way to engage with it is to, you know, properly engage with it and see the reality that these things are everywhere and they need to be talked about. Not that, oh, okay, so that's patriarchal. I'll go here where there is no patriarchy. Waisi jagah nahi milegi.
But main thing, like people are seeing like Urfi Jawed post and like then they are becoming like there is need to be masculine and this is feminism is going down way. So what's the
Urfi Jawed post? How can you count it? Usme kya hota hai? Maine dekha
like explicit content, like vulgar, like dresses and all, like which we term vulgar.
वो लाइक उस वीडियो में उर्फी जावेद बोल रही होती है कि वल्गर
नो वल्गर ड्रेसेस वेल नो शी वेयर्स सम वल्गर और एक्सप्लिसिट ड्रेसेस इन इंडियन कॉन्टेक्स्ट सो लाइक व्हेन एज ग्रुप ऑफ माइन और माइन फ्रेंड्स
हां पर उसको देख के किसी को ये क्यों लगेगा कि ज्यादा मस्कुलिन होना चाहिए या जो भी
लाइक विद इन्फ्लुएंस बाय हर मोर वुमेन विल गो टू वेयर दिस टाइप ऑफ ड्रेसेस एंड लाइक इट्स नॉट गुड फॉर सोसाइटी
Okay, I don't understand. But anyway, I don't understand how that works. But yeah, mostly, ye jo, like, seriously, socho na, agar if someone is going to declare themselves masculine, what do they mean by it? Like, you know, I'm cool, confident, and unaffected by troubles, right? But these guys are the most troubled people ever. Inki muh se sunte to subah se raat tak rona hi nikalta hai. Hai, hai, barbaad ho gaye, lut gaye, ye le gaye, wo le gaye. Ye kahe ka masculinity hai? So, don't worry about it.
And the thanks and one science is dope channel is also
Bhavesh, like, tumhara last point ye tumhara last point hai isko khatam karna hai
so alternative medicine na like for acne and like for acne especially I tried matlab because of like Inaz said na because of she was dabbling in religion atheism so like alternative medicines is something like I'm really confused even today because I've seen like many people around me who get treated by Ayurvedic or homeopathic medicine so like when like today when I go to their clinics now I have this mind like this is pseudoscience and also I can't follow them regularly and like modern so that's the problem like I see people getting cured but I like I have doubts so I think I am not able to get cured
No, aisa nahi hai. Like it's there. Do you know that there is something called an honest placebo?
Yes. Like even after telling it's placebo, people
get. So what people do is like a placebo effect is when you eat a medicine and you think it has an impact on you and then you get better. And it was essentially your body that made the change. But honest placebos are like, us dabbe ke upar likha hota hai, this is not medicine. This is just something you can eat and you can make yourself believe that it is medicine. And some people take it and they say, I feel better.
Yeah.
So it's not really about like, you know, I think there is evidence to suggest that if people believe that a medicine is doing them good, that medicine does end up doing some good. even if it does not have any medical properties. But it is also true that if you don't believe in a medicine, but there are a bunch of people around you who believe in the medicine,
yes,
your placebo effect will still kick in. Okay. पांच लोग बोल रहे हैं मतलब कुछ तो होगा इसमें.
Yes.
होम्योपैथी yes. जी ने किया है तो कुछ सोच समझ के किया होगा, वैसे हो जाता है कभी कभी.
Okay.
I would recommend that you watch the latest podcast episode on Science is Dope. He was talking to Dr. Rohin.
Yes.
Francis,
I watched it today. Therefore, I know the honest placebo definition. Yeah, yeah. Before that, I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Bhavesh, thank you for joining. You. If there is nothing else, I'll move on.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Bhavesh. Guys, I don't have any time left. I'll take Shiroyasha and I am removing the rest of you from this queue. Please don't join back. I really don't have time. It's already 1 hour, 25 minutes. So let's take Shiroyasha. Shiroyasha, you have 5 minutes as usual.
Hello, hello. Noise to nahi aa raha meri side se?
Nahi.
Okay. So first question, Sam Harris. LGBTQ पे मतलब कुछ controversial opinion है क्या? If yes, then can you?
I don't know what his opinions are on the LGBTQ matter. I haven't followed his opinions. Because
I assume you said Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris का दिमाग खराब हो गया है, तो Richard Dawkins का.
हाँ, Richard Dawkins has some anti-trans views. Sam Harris का दिमाग खराब इसलिए बोला था because he was platforming Jordan Peterson and he has now distanced himself from all that. There is this thing called the intellectual dark web (IDW). It's a bunch of clowns sitting around in suits talking horse shit about, you know, culture and you know, civilizational wars and all that. For some time Sam Harris was in the middle of all of that, and he platformed really problematic people on his podcast, including one guy who said, you know what, white people are smarter than people of color and there is genetic evidence of it. So wo mujhe Sam Harris ke upar se bharosa uthna tab shuru ho gaya tha. He has since then distanced himself from Jordan Peterson and some other people. I don't know what he's up to right now.
Ye, when was this? Ki kab bola usne?
About a couple of years ago. A year or two now? Ago. I don't know. I haven't kept in touch.
Okay.
I mean, kept in touch as in...
Cut ties with him.
Okay. Not cut ties with him. I just... for some reason, YouTube hasn't recommended anything by him.
Nice. Second question. When you were with Epified, I was watching your older videos. Mm-hmm. Where you told that when you were aligned with the right wing, at that point, would you call yourself rational? Matlab, were you rational back then?
I think so. I had already started moving away from religion. Like during the course of time when I was making videos on Epified, I was like, okay, yeah, I like this stuff. It's storytelling and maybe I can appreciate it as just that. So I was slowly moving away from it. I think it was while I was at Epified that I started openly saying that I'm an atheist. Sometime in 2016, early 2016. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. And like, would you like to call yourself now the Vibhishan of the right wing?
The Vibhishan of the right wing. I think that would be a very grand title that I don't want to take. but yeah, I guess I might be fulfilling that role, but I'm not that big. If someone who was the right-hand man of the biggest right-wing leader in the country decided to go left, that would be the Vibhishan. I was maybe one Rakshas standing on a border wall who said, "Nahin, main Vanaro ke paas ja raha hun."
Nahin, anyway, first two letters to match hote hi hai. Koi dikkat nahi hai. Theek hai, final question. Request hai ye? Okay, two requests. One is that...
One second. Guys, please stop adding yourself to the queue. I'm not taking any more callers. Shiryasha is the last caller. Thank you. Please come back next Saturday. Haan, Shiryasha, go on.
Two requests. First one is, I think you made this right-wing wala, where you talk about the right-wing past that you had. You made a video on Insta also, right? I'm not sure. If possible, can you dig out that video? Because I was not able to find it because I want to watch that live.
Which one? And,
where you talk about your right-wing past.
Episode 55.
No, on Insta. I think you went live on Insta also.
I don't know how to tell you where, how to find on Insta, because I myself can't find my old stuff on Insta.
Yes.
There's no search feature. That is why I did the YouTube live stream, so I can recommend that to people clearly.
Okay. And final request, I really liked your video about the forgotten truth about the gods.
Mm-hmm.
Where you tell a story, it's a beautiful story. Uska ek Hindi version hai ya bana sakte ho kya? Will be very...
Koshish karunga agar aap kahe to, par maine Hindi version nahi hai uska. अच्छा ठीक है, कोशिश करूंगा
उसका. रीच बहुत बढ़ जाएगा. आई विल शेयर इट अक्रॉस. थोड़ा इंग्लिश में एक बैरियर आ जाता है तो इट्स अ रिक्वेस्ट चलो
आई ट्राइड थैंक यू
थैंक यू
थैंक यू श्रेयस बाय बाय
बाय
एंड दैट वाज द लास्ट कॉल ऑफ टुडे आई जस्ट रियलाइज कि मैंने एपिसोड के शुरू में किसी को बोला नहीं कि चल को सुपर चैट भेज सकते हो सो आज कुछ खास आया नहीं दैट्स ओके इट डजंट मैटर लेट मी जस्ट रिमाइंड यू दैट इफ यू वांट टू सपोर्ट द चैनल यू कैन डू सो बाय क्लिकिंग द जॉइन बटन बिलो and you can I will read some comments hold on but let me just get this over with you can join the channel by you can support the channel by becoming a member by clicking the join button below you can support the channel by sending a super chat you can support the channel on patreon at patreon.com/vimo you can also send money at my website at www.vimo.in there is a support button there you can click on it and make a contribution of any amount of your choice you can also send me money directly by upi the handle is vimo@upi and any money you send will be very useful because I am an independent content creator and I use the money to pay my bills and buy books and software so thanks in advance if you are able to support please do if you are not able to if you're tight on money you don't have to my content will remain free also consider following me on instagram wahan pe bahut sare reels daal raha hu aajkal instagram.com/vimo I should probably create a graphic for that on to put on screen I'll do it next time so let's look Arun Rajendran says, with all due respect to the LGBTQ community, sometimes they seem to be arrogant, demanding respect, and they are also into cancel culture. This is just me. What do you think, Vimo? I don't think there's anything called cancel culture. There is an aspect of what we call cancel culture called call-out culture, where everyone gets called out for something or the other, and it becomes a habit. But I don't think that can be said about the LGBTQ community. It's not arrogant to say that we deserve respect. It's not arrogant to say that we are equals. And a lot of times when people say that the LGBTQ community is being arrogant, they're simply, talking about them being assertive about their identity or their needs. So I don't think I would say this. Cancel culture karke kuch hota hi nahi. Ye bakwas hai jo right-wingers ne banaya hai. Cancel culture matlab, you did something wrong on social media, people point it out, people say, hey, this is wrong. And you say, oh my God, I'm being cancelled while not losing anything. There are so many people who said they were getting cancelled, but they didn't lose their jobs. They didn't lose their money. They didn't lose their movie projects. Some of them did lose their stuff and then they came back. It's just consequences for being an idiot online. It's not cancel culture. Let me try to find some other comments. Wait. किसी को कोई है जिसको बहुत सारे लोग एडवाइस दे रहे हैं ओके आई सपोज गुंडू ची टुक केयर ऑफ देम अक्षत सर प्लीज रिप्लाई टू दोज हिंदूज हु क्लेम दैट गौतम बुद्ध इज द नाइन्थ इनकार्नेशन ऑफ विष्णु एंड इट इज रिटन इन आवर एंशियंट टेक्स्ट द सिंपल आंसर टू दैट इज ओके हिंदूज विल से दैट बुद्ध इज द नाइन्थ इनकार्नेशन ऑफ विष्णु एंड बुद्धिस्ट विल से वी डोंट लाइक दैट ही वॉज जस्ट अवर टीचर Who do you listen to? If you're Hindu, you'll listen to your Hindu view. And if you're Buddhist, you'll listen to your Buddhist view. Now, the Buddhist view is not controvertible. Like, there is nothing supernatural about it. We are Buddhists. This is Buddha. He was our teacher. None of this is supernatural. But the Hindu view involves a bunch of supernatural claims. Where is Vishnu? Where are the avatars? Where is the evidence that Buddha was an avatar of Vishnu? So you might as well go for the simpler explanation, right? So that's how I look at it. Okay, everyone is calling her Ahmed. Her name was Emmet, E-M-M-E-T. Emmet, even at the journey of practicing of faith, you being rational and open-minded, this way is very thoughtful and liberating. Yes. Taranga says, I think practicing organized prescribed religion versus not practicing is the first distinction to be made in one's own life before deciding on whether one is an atheist or not. Huh, but Taranga, not everyone is religious because they're practicing their religion in the most intense way. Like, there are people who will call themselves Hindu, but they never go to the temple or anything. They just believe in some kind of Hindu, at least some kind of Hindu ritualistic reality. So, if they lose faith in God, it won't be that the first step is that they return to ritualistic Hinduism and then they become atheist. They'll simply fall right through. So everyone has a different way of engaging with religion. And maybe this person, like even I'm surprised that they went from a practicing religious person to an atheist. But who knows, maybe they have their journey is more curvaceous than we think it is going to be. Maybe there are a few U-turns in there somewhere. प्रखर के गौमूत्र प्रखर के गौ यार क्यों किसी के किसी और की शक्ल का इस्तेमाल कर रहे हो. माय रोल मॉडल इज आर्थर शोपेनहावर. ही वाज सच अ गुड पर्सन. ही न्यू लाइफ वाज सफरिंग एंड बोर्डम एंड ओनली वे टू लिव इज टू रिड्यूस द सफरिंग. वेट, इसका कोई सेकंड पार्ट भी है शायद. द विल टू लिव इज सो इविल. इफ यू डिड नॉट एग्जिस्ट देन देयर विल बी नो सफरिंग एंड पेन. बुद्धा एंड आर्थर फिगर्ड इट आउट वे टू अर्ली. इट मे अप्लाई टू सम पीपल बट इट डज नॉट अप्लाई टू एवरीवन. मेनी पीपल एंजॉय लिविंग सो इट्स नॉट अ यूनिवर्सल ट्रूथ. Neil Kalita says, Gaurav Gogoi's speech was fantastic. He destroyed BJP once he had his flow going, but every time he mentioned Adani, the whole parliament yelled at him, how can we fight a system like this? That is what the opposition has realized. They have realized that this is not going to be a discussion where we ask a question and we get an answer. They are trying to appear as if they are stronger, so we are also going to have to play the appearance game, and that is why the opposition is playing it that way, I think. But anyway, let me get to the bottom. Not get to the bottom means like I'm solving a mystery or something. Let's take a couple of comments from here. Royal Dupare says, have you read Sophie's World? If yes, would you recommend it to others who want to start learning about philosophy? No, I have not read Sophie's World, so I don't know how I will recommend it. Dangu says, what do you think about inborn talent and passion? Whenever I tell someone that inborn talent is fake, then they just chant the name of Shakuntala. So please talk about that. I think it's a mix of both. Every person has certain inherent tendencies, and depending on whether they find themselves in circumstances that enhance those tendencies, we either think of them as talented or not. It's never about just inborn talent or just learned experiences. It's a mix of both, I feel. Barnali says, the common concept of masculinity is such a joke. It is deemed too shallow and fragile. Yeah. Fragility is a defining quality of masculinity. Too shallow and fragile, and this rigid dichotomy between femininity and masculinity is itself a circus. Yep. And that is why we have so much transphobia on the online, short video ecosystem. Main mard hoon. Kya? Koi aur aisa hai jo mard se aurat ban gaya? अगर वो बन गया तो मुझे कौन रोक रहा है? कहीं मैं भी औरत ना बन जाऊं? इसीलिए मैं अपनी मैस्कुलिनिटी को बचाने के लिए सुबह से शाम तक रोऊंगा. दैट्स द जीनियस स्कीम. राइट, सो आई सपोज दैट इज द एंड ऑफ टुडेज लाइव स्ट्रीम. थैंक यू एवरीवन फॉर ज्वाइनिंग. दिस वॉज एक्चुअली अ सेट ऑफ गुड कॉन्वर्सेशंस एंड आई एम डीपली सॉरी टू एवरीवन हु आई कुड नॉट टेक. I think there were a total of like 15 people and we only managed to talk to 4 or 5. And that's, unfortunately, that's going to be the case, which is why I'm doing these things on Instagram where I'm just posting a thing on my stories where I say, ask me anything and you can send a question there. And I take like 30 or 40 of the 200 odd questions that come every time I do that. So follow me on Instagram and watch my stories. Whenever I say, ask me anything, you can ask me questions there and I'll do my best to answer questions there. So the next time I see you, it will be, you can also follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/thewimoshow. When I do Twitch only live streams, you will find out about it. Right. So with that, we reach the end of today's episode. The next time I see you will be Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, please take care of yourselves and have a great week ahead. Bye-bye.